between the eyes, you hit me hard. Down and out, I'm permanently scarred. So I stumble down the stairs like a blind man, losing sight of you as I land. Right between the eyes, you got me good.
You got me good.
I should fight back, I know I should.
I know I should.
But I stagger down the street like a drunk man. Pieces of my heart in my hand. And we call this love. And we say we're committed. And we call this love. And we say like a dumb man. Remnants of my life scattered in sand. And we call this love. And we say
for the sacrifice he made. Another out of holy fear, built an ark the world to save. Another left his homeland, and as a stranger he'd reside. But none received the promise then, and so in faith they died.
Brothers conquered kingdoms, quenched the fury of the flames. Some made strong battle, some were raised to life again. Many more were martyred amidst the crowds loud clamoring. By faith they would not bow the knee or kiss the emperor's ring.
Our fears, it can shut the mouths of lions and make sense of scars and tears. We persevere in hope and with conscience clean and clear. We walk this fallen wilderness with salvation's pioneer. We hope for seeing what is yet unseen. A universe from nothingness, new life where none had been. The known made from unknowable, and hope for the comfortless, who hear and hold on firmly to the faith that they possess. So faith understands and offers, it assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouths of lions and make sense of scars and tears. We persevere in hope and with conscience clean and clear. So fix your eyes upon the champion as you seek to run the race, understanding that he cheers you on as you long for his embrace. So hold on and do not grow weary of the faith that you profess, remembering that you are ringed around by this cloud of witnesses. Faith understands and offers, it assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouths of lions and make sense of scars and tears. We persevere. And clear. We walk
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 26th day of February, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is the truth. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumriambeth, Yekida. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there, where we keep updates on news items, prepper items, weapons, ammunition, all those sorts of things, research information as well. On the home page, which is the first page of the website, is information on how you can help us out financially, if you feel so led. We do have a contact us page. That is where, if you do not have my personal contact information, you can get a message to me there as well. Remember, the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of our Father will not protect you. And another adage, do not be afraid to fail, be afraid to try. Life does not give you what you want, it gives you what you work for. Indeed, that is true. hold on a second. Damn frogs, stay out of there. The reason for the message being about the truth is because I was thinking about it the other day, is how did we get where we are? I mean, this dystopic world that we live in, how in the world did a country full of people that have had the benefits that the white race has had in North America, how in the world did we get to where we are somewhat disenfranchised at this point in our own nation? On our own lands, and this goes for all the white nations, okay? But they do have some things in common. The infiltration of the antichrists, mainly the Jews, who have come in and usurped their way into our governments and our institutions, that is part of the problem. But how did that happen? Because we no longer had watchmen on the wall. The so-called preachers were teaching the doctrines of devils. That was part of it. The other part of it is we, the people, no longer loved the truth, and that's the crux of today's message. We have to get back to where the truth matters, folks. In everything, not just politics, not just money and finances, but in scripture, in relationships, in families, in how we grow our food, how we eat, how we take care of ourselves. That's why Christ said, you know, the truth and only the truth will set us free. So I have a lot of scripture I want to go down through. We're going to start off in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Yahshua and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers. Now remember, this word brothers is adelphos, meaning racial brothers. Not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Now, a lot of people get stuck on this one. They think that's the Antichrist. These are idiomatic expressions both in the Hebrew and the Greek. So man of lawlessness could be a singular man, but it also could be a group of people. And who are the most lawless people on earth? Well, the Jews, obviously. Sons of destruction, who oppose and exalt himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be Elohim God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? That's the words of Yeshua here now. And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. So who's the great restrainer right now? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So 2,000 years ago, lawlessness. Now, you have to remember, when it speaks, Scripture speaks of law, it's not talking about man's law. It's talking about biblical law from our Father above. Our Father above does not care about man's law. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way, meaning the great restrainer. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahweh will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. So it's a double connection here, okay? By the breath of his mouth, what is that? Speaking truth. And are we not his representatives? Are we not the many-membered body of Yahshua? Yeah, we are. Each and every one of us, like a little cell in a body. So we bring him down with what? Truth spoken. And then the appearance, meaning manifestation, meaning show up for the game, guys. Because the white man's been sitting on his ass, thinking that some white knight's going to come in and do the dirty work for him. Got news for you. That ain't going to happen. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. That's the part of this message in this second Thessalonians that I wanted you to pay attention to. Right here, starting at verse 10. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Now this saved is soter in the Greek, meaning saved from physical harm and danger on this earth, right here in the present. So who is perishing from these jabs of poisons in their arms? Who's perishing from the effects of pharmaceutical drugs on their body? Who's perishing from adulterated food in our grocery stores, etc.? Those who refuse to love the truth. Our race has given up on giving credence to the truth for a long time. We didn't care about the fact we were being lied to by our preachers. We didn't care about the fact that teachers in our schools were lying to us, that the textbooks had lies, that the historians were lying, the mainstream media was lying, government officials were lying, military commanders lying, people at the witness stand in a courtroom lying. We didn't care. Therefore, Yahweh God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Look at all the misery in this world today and this one short little section out of 2nd Thessalonians, if you just understood it and followed it, could have saved a lot of people. A lot of my friends, a lot of close family friends, and even some of my family would be here today. But we stopped loving the truth. We stopped demanding the truth. When's the last time you saw somebody put on trial for perjury? When? When's the last time a cop, a judge, a lawyer, a prosecutor, a governor, a president, a member of Congress, was put on trial for perjury. When's the last time? I don't recall ever in my lifetime, and I've been around for a few decades. We stopped holding people accountable. We stopped demanding truth. We allowed advertisers to lie. And again, who's at the top of the food chain in the category of lying to us to get us to buy products or buy an idea that's false? The Jews, of course. Just as Christ said, they speak a lie. They speak their own language. And they get away with it because we, the white race, the people of Adam, that were put here to administer God's law on this earth, we've decided that, well, we can't be bothered with that. Oh, okay, they didn't tell the whole truth, but you know, hey, my paycheck's still coming in, my beer is still cold in the refrigerator, the pizza coming from the delivery guy's hot, and the football game's on television. Hey, everything's cool, right? I can still get in my car and drive down the road. I can afford the gas. I can afford the insurance. So, hey, the world's got to be okay, right? Main thing is I got that paycheck. And one day I'm going to retire and live the high life. So anything that interferes with that, I can't accept that. So when the boss lies to me, that's okay. When the corporation lies, that's okay. When the advertisers lie, that's okay. When the pharmaceutical and medical establishment lie, well, you know, you got to go along, you get along. It's better red than dead. Our ancestors had it the other way around. It's better dead than red, meaning better dead than being a communist. Better dead than allowing communists to take over, which is what they're doing in all of our white nations. But the United States is probably the most overrun, sick, and demented society in this world. I can't believe this is the nation I grew up in. What the hell happened? What the hell happened? So how did we get here? Again, as it says here in 2 Thessalonians, we no longer love the truth. And that would what? Soter, save us from harm, physical harm, mental, emotional harm. We go to churches and listen to these prostitutes, these whores, get up behind a podium and spew out their garbage. Jesus loves everybody. He doesn't care if they're queers or trannies or race mixers. Really? Since when? The laws of nature themselves tell us that that isn't true, even if you don't want to believe the Bible, even if you don't want to believe in Yahshua, or if you don't want to believe Yahweh God himself exists. Why can't you understand nature, the laws of nature, empirical evidence all around you that we're living a lie? Strong delusion. That's exactly what we have. Strong delusion, because we don't care about the truth anymore, do we? I've been reading several books talking about the what we call Indians here in North America, the people that were here when the first settlers came from Europe. That's a lie, of course, and this book is interesting. It was written some years ago, but it's drawing the analogy to the so-called Indians all the way from Mexico up to Canada that lived here and how much their language was of Hebrew origin, how their religious rituals were based in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. Interesting, this little book. Another book that I'm reading through at the moment, and I'm going to share it with my European friends who know Gaelic and Celtic languages. He talks about, and this book was put together in the middle to late 1800s, so well over 150 years ago. back when it was okay to put truth in print rather than being politically correct, which is just a euphemism for meaning you've got to appease the Jews, because that's what affirmative action and all that's all about, okay? So this book is going into the roots of Gaelic, meaning Irish, Scottish, and Welsh languages, which, again, I have a plaque right over here with our family surname and its roots that I got from a Renaissance fair. So obviously not an identity source. This was a Renaissance fair in the state of Michigan. It was a lot of Scottish and Irish bands, pipe and drum bands. So I went ahead and had them printed up for me and put it in a nice plaque. And it, the very first part of the description of the surname says it's a Welsh name. However, it's of Hebrew origin. So right there is another witness besides these many books that I have. So the fingerprints of the identity message of where did the ancient Israelites go? Well, we are the ancient Israelites, and these Jews are absolute imposters, especially the Ashkenazic Jews, which are like 90 to 95% of all Jews are Ashkenazic, and that means they have not a drop of Semitic blood in them. And that word used to be pronounced Shemitic, as in Shem. The children were descendants of Shem, who came from Noah. The Shemites were considered the people of the promise. The Shemites became the Israelites later on. Okay, so Shemitic blood meant of our race, not Jews. You see, they've hijacked everything. They want you to think they're the people of the Bible when obviously they're not. They want you to think Christ was a Jew, which is obviously a lie. He was a Jehudite and of Levi, but he was not of these creatures called Jews today. Absolutely not. So everything's upside down, just as Scripture said. Good would be called evil. Evil would be called good. Jews are evil. Everybody's going around saying they're God's chosen people. That's an oxymoron. No way in hell can that be true. And the people that are good, the actual good people, are called evil. That's the white race. Who built civilization? The white race. Who was put here by Yahweh God, the Adamic people, to maintain law and order and righteousness? The white race was. And as we've dwindled from being properly 60% of all the people on earth were white at one time, we're down to approximately 8%, 8 people out of 100 that are white. And as the world has become darker, is it better? No, it's become darker. Darker in DNA and skin color, and also darker meaning lack of understanding and civility. Look at the crime that's going on. Well, when you displace the people of God with the people that they were put here to keep under control and make sure they follow God's law, as you get replace them, you're going to obviously have more crime. And then the white people that are left, the 8% that are still here, they're sitting on their asses, sitting on their thumbs, not getting involved because they go to churches, these whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. And they listen to that prostitute tell them it's, oh, you don't want to be involved in politics. Really? Not supposed to be involved in politics? I thought they were our servants. When my servant is doing evil, am I not supposed to be involved? Of course we are. So again, we're being lied to from all sides. But the problem is you and me, folks. We stopped loving the truth. I've been saying that since I was a boy. Why do we accept liars? Why do we allow politicians and our servants to get away with criminal activity? Number one being, of course, lying. But they get away with a lot of other things. And we don't hold any of them accountable. Look at the treason out of our federal government and state governments. Treason against we the people. And yet They're still walking around. I know a lot of people are involved in things like the common law movement and things like that, but the problem with all of that is these courts are owned by the enemy. The government is run by the enemy. The media is run by the enemy. The financial institutions are run by the enemy. So obviously, to fight them, you have to come out of them. Just as we talk about Buckminster Fuller's saying, to build a better society, to fight the existing model, you have to build a new model, a parallel model that makes the old model obsolete. Obviously, the one we're in right now is obsolete. It's useless. It's good for nothing, except to be trodden under the feet of men, real men. Yahweh, send us some real men somewhere. Men that don't take bullshit from Jews or anybody else. Men that are willing to pick up arms and fight shoulder to shoulder against the common enemy. Right now, the enemy's got us fighting each other. We argue about what's the real name of the Father. What day is the Sabbath? What book is the correct translation? What's the correct translation of the various scriptures? I mean, we fight about everything. Should a man only have one wife, or is he allowed more than one wife, which is what scripture teaches? Oh, we're going to argue about that. Is circumcision what we're doing today, or was it a whole different thing back then? Well, let's argue about that. Argue about everything. Meantime, the enemy, the termites, are eating away at our infrastructure, at our institutions, and they're about ready to collapse. We're in the final stages of white civilization on this earth, but particularly here in North America. It's on its way out, being replaced with this communist free-for-all called diversity, which is a total bullshit story. But here's the thing, these so-called minorities that are jumping on board with this, they don't realize that once they have subdued the white race, just like they did in Russia and other countries where the Bolshevik Jews took over, once they take over, they bring down hell on everybody. Yeah, remember, go listen to any rabbi, go listen to the various Jewish authors, go read the Talmud, which is their holy book. There's nothing good in there for anybody that's non-Jewish. It's not good for anybody. So for those who are assisting the Jew in destroying the white civilizations, I hope you understand that you're next on the chopping block. Just go look at the history of the world and what happens when they take over. Who are the first people they line up by the thousands against the wall and execute? The useless eaters that help them come to power because they know too much. They know where the bodies are buried. Now, that'll be a glorious day. I mean, we'll already have been put into the trash heap of history by then. But it's kind of good to know that all of these minorities and all of these sycophants who have done the Jews' bidding are going to be lined up the wall, and they're going to be in the trash heap of history right along with us. They'll keep a few of them around to work the factories and do menial jobs because Jews hate physical labor. And they are terrible farmers. I know that for a fact. Terrible farmers. Why do you think even in that litter box in Palestine, they have to bring in the Palestinians to do the gardening and to raise their food? Because they suck at it, just like the Jews suck at everything, except criminality. They are masters at crime because they have no conscience and they have no hesitation to do whatever it takes to get what they want. They have no morals, no ethics, no limits. Even Jewish authors like Robert Friedman, who wrote about the Red Mafia, which was the Ukrainian-Russian Jewish mob leaving Russia, coming to the United States almost 100 years ago, and setting up shop over here so that they could run the crime syndicate. We call it government today, but they've infiltrated the government. That's why today America looks more like organized crime, because it is organized crime. Jews run it from top to bottom. That's why real criminals aren't put in prison, where innocent people like Matt Hale and Uri Call and many others are still in prisons rotting away, who have never actually committed a crime, because the Jews can get away with it, because they run this show. And that's their way of flaunting it in front of your face, white man or white woman. We can put some of your best people in prison, and you can't do a damn thing about it, because you don't believe the truth anymore. You think that somebody else is going to come in riding on a white horse and save the day. In the meantime, society just continues to crumble. Innocent lives are being affected constantly because the white man, again, just doesn't want to get up and do what he was put here to do. It's an amazing thing. It even says in Scripture, the whole world is in travail. Travail there is the Greek word, is the equivalent to what is describing a woman getting ready to have a baby. Travail, anguish, sweats, pain, longing for delivery. Ask any woman that's had a child. Yeah, when you reach that point, you're wanting that baby to come forth and put all this pushing and shoving and pain away. Well, the world's in the same spot. Waiting for who? Waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. That's exactly what it means. Where the hell are they? Where is the army of white men with weapons willing to go in and destroy wicked people? Where are they? Oh, that's okay, Dan. Go to sleep, because there are white hats. White hats out here are doing all kinds of things. Really? How come I don't see the evidence of it? Well, they have to do it in secret. I got news for you. I don't buy the secrecy thing. That's me personally. Just like I don't buy the lying. If it's for a good cause, lying's okay. Murder's okay. Rape's okay. Bearing false witness is okay. A lot of these TV shows are trying to push that thing. Well, the good guys like CIA, FBI, your local cops, they disobey the Constitution. They don't observe rights, but it's okay because they're after bad people. Says who? When do they get to decide who good and bad people are? How long before that becomes totally corrupted? Well, got the answer for you. Take a look around. It's what we have today. A law unto themselves. They'll be judge, jury, and executioner. And that's the way the Jews want it, by the way. That's why the Jews for many years have been behind the idea that you don't want high IQ people being in state police and local police. Don't you guys remember the story about when Connecticut disallowed two guys that put in their applications to be state troopers? I remember the headlines very well. They were disallowed because their IQ was too high. Do you understand what that means? That means intentionally the state was looking for low IQ. That's a euphemistic way of saying stupid, gullible, easier to deceive and push around, easier to get them to come out and commit atrocities against the people. We want them to wear the uniform and not the white men with high IQs and morals. You wonder why police do the things they do today? You wonder why there's so much crime and police brutality? And why these automatons in uniform are going up against peaceful demonstrators? Why things like January 6th came about? Even though you know that was all staged, I hope, right? You do know that, right? January 6th was all staged. In fact, Miles Mathis does a lot of deep dives on his website. He's got his papers. And you find out every one of these events, like what happened in Palestine, Ohio, these are all staged, folks. Oh, was there a train wreck? Yeah, but that's because it was staged. There were people out there that cut the track. There were people that planted explosives. There were people that put things in there that create tremendous amounts of smoke. By the way, black smoke, and yet vinyl chloride produces white smoke. So why wasn't there white smoke at this train wreck? Why was it this thick black smoke? It's a Hollywood production. If you see white smoke, armed as you see this nefarious looking black, rich, thick clouds of smoke. Okay, it's all stage productions, all a mind. I won't say the four-letter word that I'm thinking of, but it's a trick of the mind. And again, who invented all of this? Edward Bernays, the Jew, related to Sigmund Freud, another Jew. Sigmund Freud is pulling the wool over people's eyes with psychology and psychiatry. They're pseudosciences. They're fake and frauds. There is no such thing. It's all bullshit. And yet people believe it. Oh, well, that person's mentally ill, so they get to be put away. Really? Who says so? The Jew psychiatrist over there? So Edward Bernays just took the same kind of deception in the area of marketing and politics with propaganda. Those are the leaders. Those are the people that invented it all in the early 1900s, long before the National Socialists and Adolf Hitler had any power in Germany. Long before that. And yet, what does the news media and the Hollywood and all the rest of these Jew organizations tell you? It was the Germans. They invented propaganda all to get us Jews because we don't do anything to deserve all this animosity. Really? That's funny. Edward Bernays was printing books about this in the early 1900s, long before the National Socialists came along. Oh, maybe you're saying that the National Socialists adopted the Jew Bernays's tactics, like all governments have done since then. All governments deceive. The United States government is one of the worst as far as deception goes. One of the worst. I was in the United States military in the 1970s during the Vietnam War. I'm going to tell you, that was a wake-up call for this young man. How many times I was lied to by the commanders and the news media about what was going on during the Vietnam War. And by the way, the first big gas shortage, the so-called gas shortage of 1974, right around 1974, 75. I remember when that was going down, and that was a big lie too. And I knew it because we were flying just as many missions and using up gasoline on the base. I even went to the commander and I said, what the hell's going on? The news media is telling the whole country's got this huge shortage, but I see us flying training missions and doing all kinds of things. We haven't slowed up one bit. He just looked at me and shook his head and walked away. It's because I was young and naive and didn't realize that it's all a lie. It's all a lie. They shut down gas pipelines. They were hiding gasoline in storage bins and in storage tanks at abandoned gas stations. My father even found that out from friends of his that were truck drivers. They said, yeah, we take tankers at 3 o'clock in the morning and they tell us to go to these gas stations that have been abandoned or walked away from, but the tanks are still good and we're dumping our gas into those tanks. Artificial shortages. Artificial shortages. The Baptist preacher that wrote the non-energy crisis talked about the fact that he knew a lot of high executives with Exxon, and they were shutting the valves on the major pipelines that run from east to west in the United States. They were shutting the valves, and he was asking, well, why were they doing that? We have a shortage. He said, Lindsey Williams is the Baptist preacher's name. And the Exxon executive said, Lindsey, you don't seem to understand. It's about control. Yeah, it's right. Jewish control over our societies. Creating a fake gas shortage does what? It gives them control over you by limiting your gas, but it also does another thing. gives them huge profits. The price of gasoline goes from what it takes to make it, which is about 25 to 30 cents a gallon. A lot of it is taxes, which is another ripoff per gallon. Now, for that same 35 cent gallon of gasoline, they're getting $2, $3, $4, even at one point $5. Now, can you imagine? You're making a product that's only costing you about 25 to 30 cents a gallon to make it. And because of your chicanery and the whores in government looking the other way, they're now able to charge you $4, $5 a gallon for that same product that's still only 25 cents to make it. And yet we put down the Arab nations, and over in Arab nations like Muammar Gaddafi and the rest of the leaders that we helped murder, they were selling their gasoline to their people. Well, they were actually either giving it away free or charging them about 15 to 20 cents a gallon. Yeah, these are these terrible people that we help murder because the Jewish propagandists say it. You know, like the Germans that we murdered. The Germans and the Italians and the Japanese that we murdered thanks to the propagandists in the news media, the Jews. Yeah, we become their bludgeon. We become their club to keep everybody in line because we're so stupid. Because we don't question anything. We don't love the truth anymore. So all the Jew has to do is get in front of a camera and mouth any kind of lie he wants, and we just take it for granted. My whole life I've been asking my fellow white people, what the hell's wrong with you? Somebody gets in front of a camera like a Fauci and puts on a lab coat and hangs a stethoscope around his neck, and you believe that son of a bitch? Are you stupid? The guy's a criminal. And he's a Jew. Well, that's kind of synonymous, isn't it? Criminal, Jew, same thing. What? Why are you listening to him? Why would you even consider putting a diaper on your face? Why would you even think about putting an untested serum produced by Jew pharmaceutical companies? Why would you put that in your body? It doesn't work anyway. None of them work. It's all a great big lie. The whole polio scam was orchestrated by two doctors, Salk and Sabin. Yeah, both of them kikes. Both of them kikes. Polio is a cyclic disease like every other disease. It has its peaks and its valleys. They waited till a valley was coming and proclaimed that it was vaccines that did it. Such bullshit. When on God's green earth are we going to care about the truth? When are we going to care about the truth? And when on God's green earth are we going to start holding people accountable in this sick, demented, perverted world we live in? When? I want to know. I haven't even got to the verses yet. The main ones here. I took the dictionary definition of the truth, a fact that has been verified. Ooh, there's the trick. Why do white men and women believe the bullshit stories? Because they are so effing lazy today, they don't want to verify anything. Dan, it's easier. I just flip on my television set and I just believe whatever they tell me. I mean, come on, Dan, that's easy. That's easy. I don't have to do any work. I don't have to read. I don't have to research. And God forbid, I don't have to think. That might take time. I'd rather go down to the bar and drink my brains out, chasing women and song and sport. That's much better spent than buying a book or sitting at home and thinking about something. Come on, Dan. What the hell's wrong with you? It's much easier just to turn TV on, isn't it? Sit back in that chair, put on 50, 60, 70 pounds, and have my brain turn to mush. You know, your brain is a lot like your muscles. If you don't use your muscles, you start losing them. Okay? They will atrophy. Well, guess what? If your brain is not being used, it goes through a similar process. It starts becoming less efficient. and the white race, I'm not sure there's much gray matter left up there, really. I know there's not much testosterone in most of the men. They look more like faggots to me with their skinny jeans and their little buns and makeup and all that. You look like a bunch of little faggots. You sure as hell don't look like men. I sure as hell don't want to go in and kind of battle with you guys. Like that one meme that's going around showing the two lions there. I'd rather go into the field with two or three lions around me than thousands of effeminate sheep. Bah. Jews. Good. Tell us what to do, what to eat, what to put in our bodies. Yeah. You take control of our money. I'm sure you'll do a good job of it. It's never even dawned on you that there's something wrong, that the head of the Federal Reserve is always a kike. That doesn't bother you? He comes from the banking institutions, which are controlled by kikes. That doesn't bother you people? You are stupid. You know that. You're dumber than a box of rocks. You're pathetic, as a matter of fact. You have so little knowledge of what the hell this world's all about. And you don't have any balls at all. No brains and no balls. You let these perverts get away with this bullshit, thinking that some other person's going to do it for you, whether it's white knights, white whatever. Trump's going to ride in on a white horse and save the day. Let's see. His father donated heavily to Jewish causes, helped build synagogues in New York. Trump is in the pocket of rich, fabulously rich Jews, but he's going to save the day for the white man. And you never even said anything when he said how much he was going to do for the black and brown races. Wait a minute, Trump. You're being elected president of a white nation. Oh, that's right. You guys forgot about that, too. No, we're a nation. We're a diverse nation. We just love everybody. And yet you go around the world, where else do they practice that? Let's see, you go to Israel, it's run by Jews. You go to China, their government's all Chinese. You go to India, their government's all Indians, except for the Jews that infiltrate that like they do everything else, pretending to be Chinese, but you find out they got Jewish parents or Jewish money hanging out of their pockets. But that beside the point, at least facially, they're all Chinese or they're all Indians. You go to Sierra Leone or any of these, Central African countries over there, they're blacks. They're blacks running the show. You go to Mexico, they're Mexicans running the show. You go to Central America, same thing. I mean, except for the white nations. All of a sudden, it's okay that every representative is a non-white. Now we even got women infiltrating, and that's been a total 100% disaster. How many times have I heard of bad decisions by mayors, police chiefs, sheriffs, military commanders, etc., and you find out it's a woman? How many of these mayors of these cities that look like dumps, they got females? Worse yet, they're minority females. So now you got a double whammy. Non-white and female. That's a recipe for disaster. And yet the white guys are sitting around on their asses. Well, what are we going to do about Dan? We don't have enough guys. All right, so we sit back and watch it all crumble to dust in front of our faces. Watch our children and grandchildren suffer under these Jewish communist pigs, because, geez, if we pick up a weapon and do something, they might come and send in the SWAT team. Well, I got news for you, white guys. SWAT teams are coming anyway. Again, all you got to do is look at the history of... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That would require picking up a book and reading it. Silly me, I'm sorry. Go back to your dumbass self and sit there while the world crumbles around us. Because you're too effing lazy to pick up a book by Alexander Solzhenitsyn or any of the other survivors of the gulags when the Bolshevik Jews took over Tsarist Russia and what they did to the hundreds of millions of white Christian men, women, and children. Those monsters are doing the same thing here and getting ready to do it on steroids. And still you sit around. You got weapons, you got ammunition, you just don't have any balls. Some of you don't have any brains either, and that's a shame. A white guy should be one of the smartest guys in the neighborhood if he's doing what he's supposed to do. You should have both brains and balls. That's how you win wars. You got to know who you are and who your enemy is. So saith Sun Tzu, who, by the way, was European. People say, oh, he was a Chinese philosopher and wrote... Yeah, right, sure. Chinese that can't even feed themselves without Western technology. Chinese that couldn't build a factory unless they had Western technology. And if we didn't have treason in America, China, no way would they be the economic powerhouse they are today. It's all Western inventions and Western money. Of course, the Jew was the middleman. Jewish subterfuge and inculcating themselves into our societies and government, etc. They were behind it, but we allowed it to happen. No brains, no balls. Another word we need to understand is the word revere. You hear that in scripture a lot, revere. Regard with feelings of respect and reverence. Consider hallowed. That's right, you folks with a public school education, hallowed means sacred, of scripture, of the Father. Exalted or to be in awe of. A lot of your Bibles put fear, like fear of the Lord, when it should say reverence. Not afraid. He's a heavenly Father. Why in the hell would we be afraid of him? No, we should revere the Father. John 14, verse 6, Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that no one comes to the Father, could that be no one comes to be like the Father? Remember the word light, to be a light unto this world, a light. Light is always analogous to knowledge, wisdom. No one comes to be like the Father except through me. Because what is he? The truth, the way, and the life. You become Christ-like, meaning you become educated. You revere the Creator. You understand who he is. That's the problem with a lot of groups. We do have some groups out there that our guys are forming and trying to do things, but they've left the Father out of the picture. I'd like to know, how the hell do you think you're going to succeed? This is going to be an epic battle, even for those with the Father. I don't understand why any group would want to go into this fight without his help. Doesn't make any sense to me. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to Yahweh, but those who act faithfully are his delight. That's why I love the Proverbs and the Psalms. Short verses with tons of common sense and logic. Lying lips are an abomination. Now, churches are full of white people that sit there and accept that prostitute lying to him Sunday after Sunday. And yet, the scripture in the book they're carrying into church, pretending like they know it, that book says lying lips are an abomination. Do you know what the word abomination means? Maybe you need to look that one up. Okay? Abomination. Lying lips. Now, it doesn't say, well, lying lips of your neighbor, but it's okay if the lying lips are on a preacher, or the lying lips are on my congressman, or the lying lips are on the local police chief, or the lying lips are on a commander or an admiral. it's okay. Or the lying lips are on the mainstream media. That's okay. I'm sure Yahweh makes an exception for them because, well, wait a minute. I go back to Proverbs 12:22. It doesn't qualify it. It says lying lips. Period. Oh, but Dan, if we hold that to be true, we have to get up out of this pew and do something, like maybe take that preacher or that female behind the pulpit and take them outside and put them in stocks and horsewhip them. And if it's bad enough, maybe we should take a rope and hang them, because that's blasphemy, and God says blasphemy is a capital crime. Oh, Dan, we couldn't do that. Well, yeah, the preachers are setting us up to be led to the slaughter by these communist Jewish pigs, but you're saying we should actually do something? Oh my gosh, Daniel. The only people allowed to rape, murder, and abuse people's rights are governments. And people that the government sanctions, like cops and soldiers, they're allowed to murder people. Dan, you got to get your head turned on straight. You don't seem to understand. You're looking at that and believing it when you should be listening to your local congresspeople and the local judges and the Jewish people in the community that have our best interests at heart. That's who you should be listening to, Dan. You can't just read that and think that you should do something. Gee, I wonder if Phineas thought that same way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to Yahweh God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Oh my God, that almost makes it sound like the one we just read is supposed to be put into action. You mean I'm not supposed to just sit here in this pew listening to that prostitute spew out his lies and protecting the guilty? That same prostitute that married the homosexual couple and the interracially mixed couple a couple weeks ago? Jeez, I don't know. I'm confused, Dan. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. By the word, I looked up the word neighbor here. It's talking about a racial kinsman who's not far from you. For we are members one of another. Yeah, Adelphos, we are from the same womb. We are racial kin. Oh, but you can't say that, Dan, because the Jews have told us that Jesus loves everybody. Send me all the children, doesn't matter, black, brown, pink, yellow, green. Send them all to me. I just love everybody. On Judgment Day, I wonder how that's going to go when he vomits you out of his mouth for your lukewarm lies. John 8:44. One of the best ones around. That one should be bookmarked by every one of you. Talking to the Pharisaical Jew, Yeshua says, you are of your father the devil, meaning adversary, and your will is to do your father's desires. Now, take a look at the activities of Jews. Does it fit? He, meaning the father of the Jew, a devil, adversary. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Like I said, these kikes, like Edward Bernays, built up a whole industry. Actually, two industries with his books. Because he's the father of lies. What is propaganda? Propaganda is lies to get you to buy an idea that's harmful to you. That's what propaganda is for. And marketing is lying to get you to buy a product that may or may not be good for you. See how they're both the same in a way. One is selling you an idea, the other is selling you a product. But it's the same principle. How to market it so that you'll buy it. Whether it's an idea or a product, same thing. How to sell socialism, communism, like some of these soft-headed morons are starting to spew that go to these schools and universities, which if you're a parent today and you have a child in the public school system or in the standard, quote, colleges and universities, shame on you. Shame on you. If you're not homeschooling and taking care that they get a proper education through alternative means, shame. You should hang your head low. Well, Dan, I can't afford private schools and, you know, I'm not well educated myself, so I can't do homeschooling. Hey, I did homeschooling. Yeah, it was scary. I thought the same thing, but you know what you find out? There's whole organizations out there to help you. And they sell you books. The one book is for your child to look at. The other book is for you because it has all the answers in it. So right there, it solves your problem. You don't have to know everything because they give you the teacher's edition. The teacher's edition, meaning your edition, has all the answers to all the questions. So when the child says, well, what about this? What about that? It's already got the answers in there. You should know the answer yourself. However, many of our people don't. And so these books have that taken care of. As the homeschooling association I dealt with when my three children were all being homeschooled, the second three children, and they did very well homeschooling, by the way, extremely well. As the homeschooling people told me, the job of the parent being a teacher is not to make the child learn. Children learn on their own, at their own speed, by the way, too. The job of the teacher and or parent is simply to put the material in front of the child when the child is ready for it. If the child shows a propensity to mechanics, then you put the materials in front of him so he can learn. That's what he wants to know. Now, does he need to know how to read, write, and do basic arithmetic? Those are standard, but those don't take very long. Basic reading, writing, and arithmetic, that's all. Those are the core. Everything above that is the child's decision on what they want to become. This whole Jewish John Dewey system we got today is to create robots that the communists can manipulate. Yahweh's ways are better. John chapter 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The truth, and nothing but the truth. Zechariah chapter 8, verse starting at verse 14, for thus says Yahweh God, as I purposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says Yahweh of hosts, so again I have purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares Yahweh the Lord. So, this dystopic world we live in, and these Jews that run amok in our societies, they are a punishment from our Father. You know that, right? You're not going to defeat them on your own. They are to punish you for your disobedience. Punish you for not loving the truth. Punish you for your laziness. For your apathy. for your criminality in allowing innocent blood to be shed with no vengeance upon the evildoers. When a baby is murdered and you did not take the culprits in and put them on trial for murder, you have their blood on their hands. Their blood is on your hands, and the scripture says so. And it says that the earth is cursed until you vindicate the innocent blood shed. Yeah, you folks, not government. Government's our servants. And by the way, other than the sheriff who's elected, every one of these people in uniform owes their job and their allegiance to the system. Not to you, and not to what you believe. As my grandfather told me that when I was a boy, he said, cops are here to protect the status quo. The regime in power, that's what they are, the private army of the local governments. The sheriff, however, has some allegiance to the people. At least he's supposed to. That's why he's elected by we the people, to be our defense against abuse of government and other police agencies that are not obeying and protecting our rights. You see how it's all ass backwards today? We think that these guys in uniform have the authority to do whatever they want. That's what they want you to believe. And the Jews, through programming and television, they promote that idea. And the fact of the matter is, they are nothing more than rent-a-cops for the corporate world. These guys in uniform are rent-a-cops for the status quo, the system, the beast. That's what they are. Because as long as they get a paycheck from, quote, the system, that's where their allegiance lies. Not to you and not to me. That's why I've talked to them, many over the years, police that eventually left the police force because they realized that's all they were. Bullies in uniform to push the agenda of the local mayor, town council, county commission, whatever. No accountability, no accountability. John 8, starting at 31, Yeshua said to the Jehudites who had believed him, not Jews, Jehudites, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my logos, word, my plan, got to remember, Yeshua was Yahweh here in a flesh body, was he not? 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Yeah, actions speak louder than words. Let us not love in word or talk. Yeah, they're cheap, but in deed and in truth. John 4, verse 24, Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John 17:70, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. That's why Yahweh abhors liars. They're part of the group that will never see the kingdom. They're part of the group that he will send into the lake of fire, which is an idiomatic expression of death. Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Amen. He is the truth and our salvation. James 1, verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Psalm 5, verse 6, you destroy those who speak lies. Yahweh abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. You mean like Deborah Birx and Anthony Fauci? Bloodthirsty and deceitful? Yeah, look up those two words in a dictionary. You'll see pictures of Deborah Birx and Anthony Fauci right there. Two lying Jews. And they had this country walking around with diapers on their face, putting poisons in their body. When are you going to love the truth? That's what I want to know. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Now, a lot of people say, well, Dan, these Jews, these kikes like Trump and all of his rich buddies, they seem to be doing pretty good. Yeah, they're doing good because you haven't repented yet, white man and white woman. You're still out here acting like the heathen. Why should Yahweh take away the punishment? Tell me. I want to hear. When you have not repented. Now, while this world is going down in smoke and ashes, Yahweh's children are surviving. No, in the way of the world, they don't look like they're surviving. They're not riding around in great big limousines and 50-foot yachts and all that. No, of course not. That's the way of the world. But they're surviving. They didn't put the poison in their arms. They don't put diapers on their face. So their bodies are healthy while the rest of the world is starting to fall apart dead. One of my neighbors here died in his home. He was an older man, but he was still fairly fit. And the next thing I know, there's ambulances and the coroner there and talked to his brother, and he passed away all of a sudden. Nobody even knew about it for days. Funny thing, his brother is a pharmacist. So do you think my neighbor was probably full of the poison? Yeah, his brother is a pharmacist. So more than likely, that's exactly what happened to him. So there was a perfectly good man, just moved into the home a few years ago, enjoying his retirement years, but he's dead already. My brother's good friend has finally retired, met the woman of his dreams, was happy for a change, comes to Florida, he's golfing 3-4 times a day, goes out fishing on a boat, and has a heart attack. Yeah, he put the poison in his arm, thinking he was doing good to protect his wife who had just recovered from cancer. So he did what he thought was right. But here again, the ways of a man, what? Appear or feel like they're right, but lead to what? Oh, that's right, death. So he did that thinking he was protector. Now she's a widow. He's gone. But he put that poison in his body. Not lovers of the truth, but going by what feels good. And the Jews love it when you do that. When you don't challenge them. Galatians 4, verse 16. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? That's my question to the audience and to those that listen later on. Am I your enemy simply because I'm telling you the truth? I made my mind up many years ago, over 23 years ago for this station, and even further back when I went to gatherings. I'm not on this earth to make friends. I have a lot of friends, but I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to bring you the truths that are revealed to me. That was my promise. What you do with that truth, that's up to you. I did not make a promise to the Father that if you give me a way to preach your truths to the world, I'll do it. I did not promise him that you would obey. I did not promise him that you would take it to heart the things that are told to you. No, because I have no control over that. The only thing I can control is to promise to tell the truth as it is revealed to me. And that I have been doing for 23 years on this station. The beautiful part is the blessing of the Holy Spirit and the Father because of that, but also because of the fan mail I get when people take to heart a truth that we talk about here and it has changed their life. That is the blessing. That is the greatest blessing, also the greatest payment that you could possibly have is when you hear from somebody that's life has turned around because of simple truths. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, which is in the Septuagint, that is the word plesion in the Greek language. Plesion. And it means a near kinsman. Doesn't mean the world. That's what the church world tells you. Psalm 34, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's all we have today. Most of these reporters, politicians, government people, health officials, if their lips are moving, they're lying. And certainly the lawyers. I've told you about the story when I went to Oklahoma City shortly after the bombing there to testify in a court case for a friend of mine who was being wrongly accused of assault. And I had eyewitness testimony to present that he was not guilty. And the Christian lawyer talking to my friend and his wife and me and my lady in the parking lot before going into the courtroom, he tells me, Dan, you know that when we get into the courtroom, everybody lies. I swear to God, this is exactly what this man said. So he's a lawyer. And from his age, he'd been out of law school for at least a couple decades. So he's a lawyer, supposed to be a believer, churchgoer, and he's my friend's lawyer, not the enemy. And tells us in the parking lot that when we go in there, everybody lies. Now that was in the 1990s, early 2000s. I just looked at him and I said, do you understand what you just told me? Do you understand that you're an example of what's wrong in this world today? You're telling me before I even go into that courtroom that those who swear to tell the truth means nothing. You see, that is a sign that we've been Judaized because to a Jew, the oath to say the truth, to speak truth, is no oath at all. Remember, they pray the Kol Nidre prayer every year at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They pray the Kol Nidre, which is a denial of all oaths taken for the next 12 months. Yep. These Jews that everybody tells me, well, the Jews are good people. Really? They're good people, but they go to synagogue on Yom Kippur and they pray all together. The congregation prays the Kol Nidre, which says that any oath that we take for the next 12 months is of no effect. So when a Jew takes a stand as either a witness or the lawyer, or the prosecutor, or the judge, or the district attorney, when they say, we swear to tell the truth, that is a lie. Because to the Jew, they're not under any obligation to tell the truth. And you wonder why they can get like Fauci and Burks in front of a TV camera and lie their ass off. Because as Yeshua said, that is their nature. And again, they pray every year a prayer that says we can make any oath at all. And to us, it is of no effect. And yet you people believe they're going to tell the truth. Unbelievable. Third John chapter 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord God, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear or reverence your name. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endure forever. And I know you're probably getting tired of hearing all this. Who shall dwell on your holy or sacred hill? Psalm 15, starting at verse 1. This is a psalm supposedly by David. Yahweh, who shall dwell in your sanctuary? Who shall live on your holy hill? Answer. He who walks blamelessly, does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart. He who does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his friends, nor casts slurs against his fellow man, in whose eyes a vile man is despised, but who honors those who fear or reverence Yahweh. He who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change. He who does not lend out his money for usury, which is interest, nor take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be shaken. I got a whole bunch more, but we'll leave it at that for this one. If you email me, I'll send you the whole list. Again, how did we get here? We stopped believing the truth. We stopped demanding the truth of our family members, our spouses, our neighbors, our community leaders, our media, our government, our schools, our health programs, and most importantly, our pastors and teachers within the so-called churches. We stopped demanding truth, and we stopped holding those who disobey and tell us these lies, holding them accountable and punishing them for doing that. Yahweh says there's punishment for this. You want to know why children are so disobedient and absolutely out of control? Because you don't provide punishment anymore. You don't use the rod, as Scripture says. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Children need punishment. And I'm going to tell you something. In my younger years, when I was dating, there were a lot of the ladies I dated that had children. Many of them were spoiled brats. And I noticed something, that when they would go to the store and I was alone with the child or children, I implemented strict rules. And what I noticed was, while she was gone, they obeyed the rules because they knew I was going to be swift to punish them if they disobeyed them. And actually, we got along quite well while the mother was away. But as soon as she came through the door returning, the child reverted to their behavior prior, because they knew the mom was not going to allow me to discipline the child. I've observed that so many times. And you know what the crime is? The crime is that the child actually admired me for being a disciplinarian. The child actually felt comfortable because they knew I cared enough to discipline bad behavior. Now, along with disciplining bad behavior, you should be able to reward good behavior. So if you're quick to lash out at a disobedient child, you should also be quick to lavish praise and crediting them for good behavior. It's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. See, today we want to, you see these parents today, all they do is all good stuff. And again, why? Because they read some Jew book by like Dr. Spock or some other Jewish author that says that you should raise up a child in a positive attitude with all good words and this will make them a better child. Really? I'm going to tell you something. The hardest lessons that I learned that did me the most good, they weren't because somebody was praising me when I didn't deserve it. It was because my ancestors, my grandparents, my uncles and aunts, and my father and mother put a boot up my ass when I misbehaved. That's when I learned the most. I also learned that they cared. Was it fun? Of course not. But did it work? Yes, it did. I learned very quickly that having that boot put there hurts. But I also learned that it wasn't that hard to adjust my behavior, to be polite and to treat property the way I should, etc., to clean up after myself, to brush my teeth without somebody standing over me, etc. Those were small things. It didn't really hurt me. And yet today, oh, I'm going to praise the child for just participating. Really? When we lost a baseball game or a football game, the coaches and my father were not pleasant people to be around because they were going to let me know what I did wrong. And because of that, as I got older and played more sports, I got better and better to where in baseball I was part of championship teams at different times, summer league, high school, etc. In football, my senior year, we were undefeated for the first time in the school's history. I praise Yahweh that I was not raised during a time when you get a trophy for just participating, or parents laud over you and praise you when you don't even deserve it. Did it make me work hard? Were there times I went to bed at night feeling kind of bad and thinking that I was never going to get it right? Yeah, there were a few nights like that, but not that many. But I'm going to tell you something. Just like when a lady has a child, I've talked to so many women that said when the child is born, all the pain of the previous 9 months disappears. Did you ever talk to a woman that said that? Now, there's some that won't, but I'm saying a lot of them say that. And I can understand that. Because it's the same way with disciplining a child. When I played in that baseball game that won us the championship, all of the hard practices, all of the coaches yelling at me, all of the times my father told me what I did wrong and could have done better, all of that went away as we all gathered around the trophy being on the winning team. Same thing in football. All those hard practices, all the coaches hitting us upside the helmet with a clipboard, all of the boots up our butts, all of the drills. Yeah, they were painful, but you know what? You don't remember that much when you've got the jacket on that you are the conference champions with an undefeated season. Well, Dan, there's going to be kids that try and don't make it that far. That's fine. But you don't change the way you do things because a few don't make it. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. No. There's things I've attempted to do that I've failed at. But there's things I've attempted to do I succeeded at. It's just the way of the world. You still keep trying. You still reach for the best. Whether somebody gives you an award for it or not, you set a goal that makes you work harder every day of your life. That's what those scriptures are trying to teach you. You don't sit there satisfied with second-rate behavior, second-rate attitudes, second-rate trials. You get out there and you work. Just like the scripture we read there. He does not give you, let me see if I can find it here real quick, so I don't misquote it. Where did I put it? Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Okay? It gives you what you work for. Unbelievable. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this day. We praise you for all the good things that you will send to your children. We ask that you would watch over us and guide us in everything that we do and say to thy glory for your kingdom, not ours, that those who are without you might know that they're not going to win anything unless they repent, they change the way they think, unless they give up their evil, wicked ways, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. We ask that you would forgive us our shortcomings, our stumblings, and by your Holy Spirit, educate us and give us good discernment to see through the mountain of misinformation and lies we have today. Help us be the warriors that you wanted us to be, the sons of Yah manifested on this earth that will bring the evil down so that the righteous could stand firm, to protect the innocents, the widows, and the orphans that are unprotected today. It's our calling, it is our job, Father, and we've failed. Raise up that army of righteous men that will say no more. To that end, again, Father, we give you the praise. We look forward to the day that your Spirit will dwell upon men, and they will become righteous men once again, righteous warriors, as you fully intended us to be, and will bring heaven on earth when the wicked are dealt with. And always we end it, Father, with a request that you protect us from those who would do evil against us and our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Soon a circle of glory will be placed upon his brow, and he'll come to reign forever, though it may not seem so now. And our time of tears and trouble will seem only like a dream, as we stand before the glory of our Savior and our King.
Yeah. a killing machine with a need to bleed you when the light goes green. Best believe I'm in the zone to be. From a yin to my yang disease. Put a grin on my chin when you come to me. Cause I'm weird, I'm a one of a kind, and I'll bring death to the place you're about to be. Another river of blood running under my feet. Forged in a fire lit long ago. Stand next to me, you'll never stand alone. I'm last to leave, but the first to go. Lord, make me dead before you make me whole. I'll feed on the fear of the devil inside of the enemy faces in my sight. Aim with a hand, shoot with a mind, kill with a heart like Arctic ice.
Federal government, he pays his homage. Seems the more he tries to make, the more they tax and take. Odds are he won't live to pay his mortgage. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you've signed your name. Back when we were strangled by depression, while FDR was selling out the nation, there was devised an evil scheme. It was a wicked tyrant's dream. Nine numbers now that change their system. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you've signed your name.
In March of 1933, President FDR declared the bankruptcy of a private corporation known as the Federal U.S. Government. In order to calm the American people into paying this fraudulent debt, he set up the Social Security Act. When you sign your Social Security card, you unwittingly become a federal U.S. citizen, pledging your life, liberty, and property as surety for a debt you don't owe. In other words, you become a federal debt slave to your federal master, Uncle Samuel.
Now don't despair, there is a sure solution.
to start a righteous reformation. You can refuse to play their game. We send the number off your name. Just file the forms and drop out of the system. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you signed your name. Now you don't have to play their game. Don't let the fraud enslave your name. Resend the number off your name.
Walking through the desert, tired and in despair. I was thirsting for the answers. Then you met me there. In the valley of shadows, your hand reaching to me. Here I am, there you are. Lift me up, 'cause it feels like I'm falling apart. Here I am, there you are. Help me mend the pieces of my broken heart. Then I surrender to you. Here I am. I was trying to climb the mountain, but I couldn't see the top. Every painful step I tried to take made me want to stop. I'm so afraid I might stumble, but I know you won't let me fall. Here I am, there you are. Lift me up, 'cause it feels like I'm falling apart. Here I am, there you are. Help me mend the pieces of my broken heart. Then I surrender to you. Here I am. As I gaze upon your face, I am saved by your grace. And I will never be the same. Here I am. Here I am.